Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Nobody No Problem. I'm Kristen.
I'm Katie.
And today is another story of murder.
Yes.
Katie is up today, and we were just discussing how she's nervous because she wants to do the story justice, so I'm really excited.
Yeah. I mean, when you're looking for a story that you want to sit down and do research into and then portray to an audience,
It's nerve-wracking for sure.
You want to find good stories. I mean, obviously...
Well, and you also, like you said, you want to do it justice. So you want to be as accurate as possible, but also explain it in the best way. Because if there's a lot of moving parts, it's kind of hard.
Right. And, like, I knew right away when I saw the basic synopsis of this story that I was like, damn, okay, I want to do this. But I didn't know how many details I was actually going to get. And surprisingly, I was actually, not surprisingly, when you realized what happened, I was able to get a lot. So
yeah, cool. I'm really excited to hear it. Very, very excited. So what else is new with you this week? Anything?
No.
Yeah, not really. Same old, same old. Oh, I actually sent didn't I send you a private Snapchat on top of the group chat we have? I officially concluded watching all of the Marvel movies in cinematic timeline order this week.
I'm very proud of you.
I was very proud of myself. So I ended with Endgame, and I hadn't seen it since I've seen it in theaters. I don't know how, but as I started it, I was like, I have not watched this again. It's so good.
I mean, I love them. I know when I stopped over here on Monday morning after Super Bowl, to get the things that were left here.
Yes,
Super Bowl. You were watching Black Panther, so naturally, Monday afternoon as I'm working from home, I put on Black Panther as well. I love that movie.
Yep, and Ragnarok.
Yeah, those two are probably
and they're in order. Top five. It was Black Panther, Ragnarok, then Ant-Man and the Wasp, then it was Infinity War.
I also put on Ant-Man this week.
Love Paul Rudd. Just have the weirdest crush on him.
What I started, I was looking, okay, so when I'm working from home, I like to put more like a lighthearted show on, or like Disney, Marvel movies, whatever. But not like the intense shows that I watch at nighttime.
Sure.
So I was on Hulu, and I know you already know, but I guess this was the highlight of my week. I was on Hulu and realized they have all of the Modern Families and was just pumped.
Oh,
so I'm already,
I need to do
like,
it
again. Halfway through so season two.
Ugh, I need to do that again.
It's so good.
That Bell and Schitt's Creek.
Bell Dumpy is my spirit animal.
He really is. You guys are both the same person. You're both so positive and just like hilarious in your own way, but I don't think you realize how funny you are.
No.
It's just you're like the same person. If Bill Dumpy actually existed. You know what else I wanted to do?
I just thought about Gloria was mad at the neighbor because of the dog, and he goes, I've never said anything about your parrot. Your parrot. And she's like, what parrot? Jay!
It's so good. It's so good. No, it's still my favorite episode is, I think it's season 10 when they go to Tahoe.
Oh, and, I thought you were talking about when they lost Stella.
Oh, God, that too. Oh, my God. Stella! This was the part I was born to play. No, when they're in Lake Tahoe, and Gloria falls off the boat into the water.
I honestly think I stopped watching after a certain point.
Oh, my God, that episode is absolutely hysterical. They hit her and, I can't remember, the redhead's husband.
Cam.
Falls into the water with her, and they're, like, in the middle of the lake, and it's so funny. He's, like, wrapped in this white bodysuit.
Did it make you think of when we got stranded on a canoe?
It did.
Once?
It did. It was so funny. But if you haven't watched Modern Family, please do. But what I was going to say, and I almost forgot to do, because Kevin is a big fan of this, our friend Kevin, who loves the podcast, is graduating from the Fire Academy.
Shout out, Kev.
Shout out, Chief Kevy.
We're proud of you.
Chief Kevy. We are very proud of you. So wanted to give a huge shout out to him. Shout out to him. Because, you know, that's awesome sauce, man. But yeah, again, just movie stuff. Really haven't done much.
Nope.
But, positive news. That's what we were going to do. I'm actually really excited about this story. Katie and I were talking about it. So, it is goodnewsnetwork.org that I found this. But, so I know I told you I was I've slowly turned into like a humanitarian in my basement watching David Attenborough. So the story I found today was Nigerian villagers score victory when the court basically sided with them for a lawsuit that's been pending for about 13 years regarding oil spills that contaminated their farmland. And it took 13 years, but Shell finally had to fucking pay him some money. And they won their case. So, good news. That was positive stuff. I was very happy.
Love it when
the little guy wins. And
companies have to be held accountable.
Yeah, because apparently it's really bad on, like, African coasts and things like that where they're drilling. Because there's third world countries just need the money really bad. Mm. And I didn't realize, reading into this, that it was a thing. And, you know, people lose a lot of their livelihood if you, like, an oil spill obviously contaminates everything.
Right.
And your livestock and water. I'm sure even fresh water, too, around everything. But, yes, I thought that was great. It always makes me happy when the big bad guy has to pay out to the little people to
that were affected
by your fucking stupidity. So, yes, just a bit of positive news before we tell this story that Katie's going to tell that I'm very excited to hear.
Pressure.
No pressure. None at all. You're going to do great. We both know that.
All right. Well, I will just kickstart this bitch then.
Let's go.
All right. So I am telling Vitaly Kaloyev's story. And obviously, he is Russian. So I'm just going to apologize now for all the butchering that I do with words and names. I'm sorry.
You'll get it. I mean, Kaloyev.
Kaloyev.
Kaloyev, yeah. That looks right.
Well, it's going to get worse because there is a city name.
Still oh, boy.
Haven't figured out how to
well,
pronounce.
Yeah, we're talking about the DLF past one, and I butchered so much.
For sure.
But you'll do great.
All right. He was born January 15, 1956, in Vladikavkaz, which is the capital of North Ossetia, which is a federal subject of Russia. He has a wife named Svetlana, who is 44 years old, and together they have two children, a 10-year-old son named Konstantin, and a 4-year-old daughter named Diana.
And Konstantin
nailed
and
that one.
And Konstantin. Got it.
Well, there's no E on the end, so I'm not 100% sure if it's Konstantin or Konstantin.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. Okay.
So,
I thought you said Konstantin. I'm sorry. Got it.
He was, Vitaly was an architect who was working in Barcelona. On July 1st, 2002, Svetlana and the children board a Bashkirian Airlines Flight 2937, which is obviously a passenger jet. They're leaving from Moscow to go to Barcelona to meet Vitaly for a vacation.
Okay.
Meanwhile, while this Flight 2937 is in the air, there's also a DHL Flight 611, which is a cargo jet. It's flying from Italy to Brussels, Belgium. In a nutshell, they end up colliding over Überlingen, Germany, which is very close
to the
Swiss border. So all 60 of the passengers, the crew, on Flight 2937, so 69, and both members of the cargo jet perish.
Yeah. Duh.
Very sad.
That's...
It was a very big deal. Not only is this sad enough on its own.
Yeah, that's pretty terrible.
45 of the passengers that were on Flight 2937 were school children going on a school trip.
Wait.
And most of the parents of the children were high-ranking officials in the government.
Oh, no. Yeah, nope. It's somewhere in this span of my very messed up murder brain.
I wondered if you would know about this.
Yeah, I feel like I have heard this.
It got a lot of attention.
This is
but
kind
like
of
I
like...
said, we were young when it happened, so well, not
maybe,
at all.
Maybe I'm mixing
there
up a TV show.
There was an investigation done that... There was a lot of... I'll get into it, but there was a lot of finger pointing because of the location and where the different planes were coming from, that countries were all blaming each other.
Did it?
And I'll
yeah,
get into
did
that.
They? Okay, get into it. Get into
all right. So, that happened. Very sad. Very sad. The investigation is performed by the German Federal Bureau of Aircraft Accident Investigation, also known as BFU.
Okie dokie.
Initial looking into it, all the pilots and crew members were very seasoned. No bad notes in any of their files. I mean, you could, I was able to see the number of hours logged for flights and all that stuff. All, I mean, like I said, very seasoned, knew what they were doing. I mean, it's not like there was a rookie in the seat or anything. So that's kind of like a, all right, that checks out.
Right.
The airspace was being monitored, controlled, whatever, by a Switzerland private company called Skyguide. And the crash happened just inside of the German border, but because it was so close, it was controlled by a Switzerland company.
Okay.
What they came to find out was that there was only one air traffic controller.
Yeah.
On duty at the time of the crash. His name was Peter Nielsen. Now, there are mostly two issues.
So there was one air traffic controller in charge of all of those flights?
Yes. So basically, they determined that he was manning two workstations. The other employee that was supposed to be working the second workstation was off taking a nap. This does go against Skyguide's regulations. Obviously, per their official rules, you can't have one man handling two stations, which is totally understandable.
Yeah, but lots of people's lives depend on it, i.e. people died.
Yes. But they did find that management knew that this was a common thing and
did nothing about
They did nothing about it. It was completely tolerated.
That is kind of crazy because no one really knows, like, air traffic controllers, but, like, it is one of the most stressful jobs you can have in the world.
I mean, luckily, when you're an air traffic controller, you have a lot of technology on your side.
Yeah.
The problem is when technology could fail you.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a little bit what happens here. The ground-based optical collision warning system, quote, quote.
Yeah.
Was off for maintenance purposes.
Wait, that... Do they have a backup? That sounds important.
It does.
And people wonder why I'm scared to death of flying. This shit right here.
Right. I mean, if this system had been on, it would have alerted Nielsen of the problem 2.5 minutes before the crash took place.
Right.
Which is ample amount of time to...
See, right. Divert the planes from running into each other. Right.
So basically, without this system, and maybe not paying enough attention to one workstation over the other, he lets the planes get too close. 1 minute before the crash happens, he realizes, oh shit, this is about to happen. And he tells flight 2937, the passenger plane, to descend in order to avoid the collision. Now, every plane has a, they call it a TCAS, a traffic system avoidance system. So, which basically is like a last minute effort on the plane to like help the pilots avoid any collisions. After he tells them to descend and they start to do so, their TCAS tells them to go up. Well, the pilots on flight 2937 are like, listen, this air traffic controller told us to go down, we're going down. We're going to follow his orders.
I would go with a human always. Sure.
Right. So they continue to descend. At the same time, the cargo jets, TCAS, told them to also descend. And they did. So now you have both planes trying to avoid collision going in the same direction.
Not right. They're both, again, they're going, both going. So they're down. Still going in the same direction.
Yep. Nielsen continues to tell flight 2937 to descend because he is unaware that they're getting the TCAS notifications of, hey, you should go up. So he thinks he's doing the right thing because he's only in contact with flight 2937. He doesn't know that the other one is also going down because they're listening to their TCAS.
That was my question. So the TCAS, does the air traffic controllers, or do they have access to that in the plane?
I think the only people that see that are the people in the pilots. Planes.
There's no, like, well, I guess 2002, you said?
Yeah. Understanding was that.
There wasn't, like,
he was unaware of those notifications that the pilots were getting, which led me to conclude he doesn't get those. Only the pilots get that for, like, a last minute, oh, shit, help yourself live.
That seems
divert,
a little bit.
Divert.
Yeah, that seems, like, a little lax. Is it weird that I think that? I don't know. I feel like that has to be super confusing and hard if there's one thing telling you to do this, then you have a human screaming to do something else.
Oh, For
that
sure.
That has to make it so much more confusing.
Well, I think the chances of being in this situation has to be so rare.
Yeah.
That, yeah, I mean, it's scary to think that it could happen. But as we all know, you have a better chance of getting in, like, 8 car accidents before an airplane accident. You know what I mean? Like,
that's what everyone tells me. You have more chance of getting struck by lightning twice or eaten by a shark. I don't care because human error exists. Oh, my God.
I get nervous when there is turbulence on a plane. And I know that we're going to be fine, but I get nervous.
I have to be close to blackout drunk to get on an airplane. I flew to Ireland. I made it. But I was not sober when I got on that airplane.
Mm-hmm. No. And see, I'm like the opposite because I, as much as flying in planes kind of gives me nerves, it's so embarrassing. I am more nervous to worry about getting up and going to the tiny little bathroom on a plane. So I really won't drink anything for like 5 hours prior to getting on a plane.
Never take an international flight then because...
Nope, I won't.
I was an idiot and picked seats for CJ.
Dehydration.
The guy...
I won't do anything.
CJ was on the window and I was in the middle. And the guy on the outside was fucking asleep for like 6.5 hours.
Oh, good for him.
And I am, no, I have to pee.
No, bad for you, good for him.
I have to pee and couldn't get up because I'm so scared of being rude to people. It was horrible.
It's just bad.
It is bad. But yes, horrible flyers, we can go back to. Sorry for interrupting.
No,
but it's
bad.
A little tidbit on my obvious fear of human error and airplanes.
So, it ends up getting to a point where they can visually see each other.
Oh, no.
And they try to adjust, but the Nielsen, the air control trafficker, had told them the wrong information. I mean, they thought that it was something like they thought the cargo jet was on their right, but he ended up being on their left, whatever. They collide.
That sounds like a hot fucking mess.
So they both end up in several pieces, specifically flight 2937, ended up being spread out over a wide area, but both engines landed hundreds of meters away from the main wreckage, which, I mean, we all know, a plane has to go very fast to stay in the air. So when it collides with something else just as big, and then they hit the ground, and then you have all the fuel, it's just bad. I mean, we've all seen that Grey's Anatomy episode with the plane crash.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, planes have to go real freaking fast to stay in flight. And I can only imagine them actually colliding, like what that looked like.
Oh, God. It had to be terrifying.
I could not. I mean, like if you were on the left side of that plane and you saw that shit coming, I don't even know. Holy crap.
That's terrifying.
Never getting on an airplane ever again.
Afterwards, like we had kind of touched on before, because there were so many different countries involved from, you know, obviously it was in German territory. The one was leaving from Russia. The one was leaving from, it was going to Italy.
Yeah.
But it, whatever. So a bunch of different countries. Oh, so it was basically between Switzerland, Russia, and Bahrain that were all, you know, everyone's supposed to give a report and they're all basically pointing fingers and like, hey,
yeah, it's all your fault.
And I mean, honestly, like all around, it seemed like everyone had a little bit
of fault.
But mostly, I mean, let's not lie.
Switzerland, Sweden. I'm going to go with the company that Skyjet just didn't give a shit that their employees.
Skyguide.
I don't know why I almost said Skyjet.
So, basically, Germany was the only one that really didn't, like, point fingers because they were just doing the investigation. So, they took all of their reports and were like, this is our report and we're going to put all of your different statements as an appendix into our report because we're not dealing with it. This is just what it is. So, obviously, Nielsen needed medical attention for traumatic stress. I mean, if you knew that you caused this, like I said, there's many factors, but I mean, you're the person that's supposed to be making sure that everyone is good in the air and it lands on your shoulders, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, that's what happens when you overwork.
He had a hard
people.
Time with it.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, I could imagine. Are you kidding me? And then on top of it, it's not like, not saying that, like, you know, 99 old people on an airplane would make it any less worse. But
no.
having a bunch of school children, like, on a field trip,
that hits harder, man.
Great.
It's harder.
It does, because they're just, you know, little innocent babies and haven't got to live their life
yet. So innocent, and, So, Skyguide eventually ends up taking full blame and apologize, like, issues out apology statements and everything, especially to the victims' families. They pay out compensation to the children's families. I think I read it was approximately, like, $35,000 per family.
Great. Like I'm that. So glad that your kid's life was worth $35,000. People.
More people appealed, but courts ended up turning down those appeals in 2011. So, I mean, this thing has been dragged out in multiple courts by multiple people, different parties. I'm sure it's
confusing, too, because if they're specific people. It really got
confusing between who was suing who. Yeah. There was a lot of it going around. Yep,
I can see that. Poor fucking Nielsen's so just in the middle of all this mess. Right.
I mean, so just to kind of touch a little bit on it, to do like a in a nutshell. In 2004, the criminal investigation of Skyguide began. In 2006, a Swiss prosecutor filed a manslaughter charge against 8 employees of Skyguide.
What?
The next year, in 2007, 4 employees were completely cleared. 3 were given prison time, and 1 had to pay a steep fine. So,
I mean, I guess as an employee, you know the guidelines in your, what is it, company's handbook or whatever, but...
Your contract as an employee, yeah.
You should know that, but at the same time...
No one plans for this.
But, I just, that also is a lot of blame. I mean, they're just trying to, like, make people feel better about this, like, super tragic loss. It's just kind of...
You're trying to get justice.
But there's
no justice in money when someone you love is dead.
That's when I'm like, oh, good. They gave everybody $35,000. And their fucking 8-year-old child is no longer living. Right. Good for that.
Right. Also, in 2006, a city in southern Germany decides that the Federation of Germany should pay Bashkiren Airlines because they were legally responsible for Skyguide. And they ended up reaching an agreement in 2013, but I really couldn't find anything on what that was. So yeah. I'm sure there was like a non-disclosure
clause, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Someone signed some NDAs.
Yep.
I just don't like...
And I did read that... The Bashkiren Airlines did end up filing for bankruptcy, so I mean... They just lost all around.
So, is the Skyguide, are they, like, still operating today?
I will have to look into that. I did not read that they had gone bankrupt or closed down or anything.
Anything like that.
So, I will look.
It's just, like, a shame get today. Back to especially with, like, something as so important as maintaining flight pass, which is obviously fucking important with, like, the amount of air traffic that happens. On a daily basis, and they were just like, oh, super lax about it. And then they were just like, oh, now, I'm sure now they're going to have someone who goes in every day. So it took 69 people's lives for you to, like, make sure that your guidelines were followed.
72 total. I will say this. I did read some stuff about the heights that the different planes were flying at, and that was part of the finger pointing of, like, hey... You were supposed to be flying at this, but your black box showed you were flying at this, so that's this plane's fault, and da-da-da-da-da. But, I mean, honestly, it was too confusing to me because I don't know that shit.
Well, so. I feel like commercial flights with people are at a different height than freight jets.
That could be.
If that's some random piece of knowledge I have, I don't understand why. But I always thought that there was different height levels for specific...
I think there's also, like, different speeds based on the weight of your plane. Right. I mean, everything can go into this. It was, like, the perfect storm of fucked up.
That is a hot cluster fuck of mess.
Yes.
Yep. Okay, continue. Sorry.
Basically, Vitaly spends the first year or two visiting his family's graves and... builds, like, a shrine in his house, which, I mean, obviously, you just lost...
Your entire family.
Your whole family.
Yeah.
Skyguide offered him 60,000 Swiss francs.
Francs. Francs. Whatever. We would say
francs.
francs.
For the death of his wife, and then an additional 50,000 francs for the death of his children. In return for not making any claims against the company.
Why do we live now, on this planet? People are the worst.
Well, they can't bring them back, so I guess their next best chance is offering money. All he wanted was an apology.
That's what I've read.
It sounds like all he wanted was for someone to acknowledge that he had
a terrible mistake was made,
and that they were sorry. And he wasn't getting that because, obviously, as everyone knows, a company does not, in the way that they have to at some point admit the guilt, they don't want to give in any more to that.
You want to know what really, I know you just watched the show, but it reminds me of The Boys in the opening scene where what's-his-face runs through the girl and he walks in and is like, I just want someone to say I'm sorry.
Yep,
and they offered him all this money and all this stuff and he was just like, I don't want your money. I just want someone to say that someone messed up.
Right, that's pretty much exactly what happened.
Yep, but you know, as humans, we're just like, here's money. It'll be fine.
Well, I also think that, like, maybe if it was a single person that fucked up, they would be like, listen, from the bottom of my heart, whatever. But as a company, there are reasons that they don't do that. You know, they have...
Yeah, you can't admit fault.
Right.
You owe yourself up to 900 lawsuits.
Obviously, they did end up taking the final blame for it.
I'm sure it's after
everybody
was. They're
not
going to
go giving out personal apologies. That just looks bad.
Well, it's, you're advised by your lawyer not to do it because it opens you up. If you admit fault, then it opens you up to lawsuits. So I'm sure it was after they had everybody sign a dismissal saying that I'm not going to sue you.
Right.
A release. Sorry, not a dismissal. Saying I'm not going to sue you. And then they go, oh yeah, it's our bad. Sorry.
Right. So basically, Vitaly holds Nielsen personally responsible. As I said, he just wanted an apology, so he had reached out to SkyGuide, asking if he could meet with, like, their head person, and with Nielsen. Like, he just wanted an apology. They obviously did not respond to him. So he hires a private investigator to go find Nielsen.
Yep.
And they did. So on February 24th, 2004, Vitaly shows up at his house, just outside of Zurich in Switzerland. And he confirms with the neighbor, like, he holds up a piece of paper that had his name on it, and he points at the house, and the neighbor's like, yep, that's him. Didn't knock on the door, just sat down in the garden. Well, Nielsen was at home with his wife and his three children. So they see that he's out there. So Nielsen walks out to see what they want. The three kids follow him out. I've read a few different things of, it sounded like Vitaly was telling him, like, I want an apology. I want an apology, and had pictures of his children with him. Nielsen didn't want to hear it, and Vitaly just stabs him to death right there in his own garden in front of his three children. And then his wife ran out when she heard a scream, and he died.
Stabbing to death means death.
I was just wrapping it up with a bow.
I was assuming he died. But yes. When you're, like, if you're in Nielsen's head, like, what are you thinking, dude? You just gotta be like, you know what? I am so sorry. And he should be. I understand the stress and all the stuff that, like, comes with being an air traffic controller. I don't. I shouldn't say I understand. But yeah, I understand that it is a super stressful career. I wouldn't know, you know, anything other than that. But as a human being on this planet, don't you think in your head, if you were not a sociopath, you would have just been like, I am so freaking sorry.
As we said, he was probably doing what SkyGuide and their attorneys had advised him not to do. Also, it's not like this was like a public thing. I mean, this guy shows up in your freaking front door and you're like, what? Like, I he was probably trying to move on with his life. As I said, like, he had to be treated medically. Obviously, he knew the damage that he had a hand in. He could not have felt good about it. I'm sure he didn't. And then this guy shows up and you're like, well, what the fuck am I supposed to do? I don't know.
Say sorry.
I wasn't there. I don't
just
know what
say you're sorry.
His head.
I get the frustration aspect from him.
I did read
but
that Vitaly had said at one point, if he had invited me in and we had talked in softer tones, maybe what happened wouldn't have happened. So maybe if he had just apologized, it would have gone different.
I mean, all the guy wanted was someone to acknowledge the fact that someone fucked up so bad that he lost his entire life.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't understand why it's so bad for people. And you're probably right. They probably had, like, a very specific, you cannot apologize publicly, but it's not public. Like, it's like, you invite someone into your house that had this awful tragedy of...
I mean, I know if I fucked up like that, and someone showed up on my front door because his wife and two kids died.
You know he's not in a good headspace.
I mean, I know that I personally would be apologizing and probably bawling my eyes out, but that's just the person that I am.
That's what I'm saying. It sounds like this guy was just like...
trying to protect his kids and his wife. Sure, sure. And like, so, I mean, obviously we don't know exactly what went down.
It just sounds like he did nothing to defuse the situation where... He could have said, you know what, let me get my coat, let's go to the bar down the street, let's have a drink, we can talk, whatever. It sounds like he escalated the situation to a point where it was...
I think that, listen, Vitaly went there. He had to travel. He traveled legally into Switzerland.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what mindset was he in? If this doesn't just fall on what... Nielsen.
No, totally not.
I mean,
he was not in a good mindset. No one was.
You know what? You don't even know, because if Nielsen had been super apologetic, he still might have fucking killed him.
Definitely could have. We have no idea.
So let me just wrap this up.
Yes.
So October 25th, 2005, Vitaly is convicted of premeditated murder and he's sentenced to 8 years in a Swiss prison.
8 years?
Yeah.
What?
It was something between... So the premeditated is... It's like ours. It's between murder and manslaughter. And he got 8 years. And well, guess what? He served two of them before being released.
I thought that premeditated here is like your life to death penalty.
Ooh, I wonder.
Because premeditated is murder one. Murder two would be manslaughter, right?
You might be right.
Because murder one is, you're out for the death penalty. If you really think about going to kill somebody.
I mean.
But.
You travel to another country, which for us here is like traveling to Indiana, but still.
Good old Indiana. But it's, and also, you can't really prove his intent, because he could have, but
he had a fucking knife.
Yeah, but my husband carries a knife every day. Doesn't mean he's going to go stab somebody.
I guess you're right.
You know what I mean?
People carry guns. Conceal and carry. I guess, but I think...
Wait, you said it was released in 2 years?
Okay, so here's the thing, too, that might have been part of him getting premeditated. Not once did he say he was sorry. He was not sorry.
I don't fucking blame him.
He was not sorry. Like, there are quotes of him, I guess I should have written one down, but he was like, you know... I lived behind my family's gravestones for 2 years.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm like, ooh, that's hard.
I shouldn't say I don't blame him. I think that bad things shouldn't produce more bad things because nothing gets solved and it just creates more hurt
everywhere.
But everywhere.
Everyone thinks the same way.
Well,
and you don't know how you're going to think until you're in that situation.
Well, no. Honestly, I completely understand why he did what he did.
Well... Hold on, I'm going
to have time to
that.
Live in your grief.
So, yeah. So, just over 2 years later, he's released on parole, and he returns home to Russia, and he is mostly seen as a hero. There were people holding signs and cheering him on, and were really happy for him. So...
That's a weird situation.
Okay, now I didn't know if I was going to say this or not. I have read different things, because... Some of the things that I read were like, he was seen as a hero. And then in another article that I read, it was people that didn't agree with that, of seeing him as a hero. And they were like, this is the result of the state that Russia is in. And like, they're so like, fuck Switzerland and those people because they killed us Russians. So I mean, I guess you had like a mixed crowd, but... There was definitely, like, a little bit of fandom to him when he got back. So that obviously creates tension, because while the people in Russia are happy, people in Switzerland are fuming. Mortified. They're like, what the hell? Like, he killed this dude, and, like, shit happens, but, like, that doesn't mean you get to turn around and kill someone, so whatever. So...
Well, I don't know if I want to say shit happens. That's a big shit.
Lots of no, I mean, like, obviously, like, I know what you mistakes mean. Happen.
Yeah.
I didn't obviously mean to write it off so
but
casually.
That's, again, we go back to why I'm scared of flying, because there's always that little percentage of human error that is, it can happen.
So, he goes back to North Ossetia, and I'm guessing that's how it's pronounced, but Russia. When he got back, he was appointed the Deputy Minister of Construction of the Republic. And then, when he ended up retiring in 2016, he receives the highest state award by the local government.
Jesus.
On his 60th birthday, and it's the medal called To the Glory of Ossetia, which basically this... medals awarded for high achievements, improving living conditions of the inhabitants, and educating younger generation, and maintaining law and order.
Okay,
so
well,
it's almost like...
I mean, that doesn't really have anything
you,
to do...
Fuck you, Switzerland!
Right. But it also doesn't really have anything to do with the murder, but, I mean, he could have a great career.
He didn't have that anything close to that job before this happened. So,
right, but they gave him an award for his work as he retired. So he could have done work for 40 years.
He could have done a great job.
Right, that's what I mean. We don't know. We don't live
in
Russia.
And then, okay, so then backtrack a little bit. When he got released...
For serving 2 years in prison for brutally murdering somebody in front of his kids and wife.
The Swiss government asked him to repay the imprisonment costs, which was approximately $157,000. He refuses, which ultimately gets him put on the Swiss watch list. So when he goes back to Switzerland for the 10-year memorial,
He
travels to Germany.
Oh, no.
He's obtained by authorities because he was on the watch list.
Oh, my God, stop.
And it ended up taking Russian diplomats agreeing to stay with him for them to release him. That was like...
Stop it!
There was a lot of bad blood going back and forth.
That is insanity!
And then, ultimately, Vitaly ended up getting remarried to a woman named Irina. She was an engineer. They got married in 2012 or 2013. They ended up having twins on December 25th. 2018, and they named them Maxim and Sophia.
I love Sophia. Such a cute name.
So, as of now, that's kind of where we're at. On a good note, since this happened, the TCAS was redesigned and upgraded. So hopefully they don't have any of these glitches again in the future.
I just can't believe that everyone was so lax about maintaining or, like, you know, inspecting and making sure that people were doing their fucking job.
Well, you know, sometimes it takes something big for people to...
Which is precisely why I hate humans. 79 people? 72?
72 total.
72 lives. That's what it took. For someone to fucking just make sure people were okay. Not too tired, because I'm sure the air traffic controllers were way overworked.
It did say they were overworked.
Way overworked and stressed, and it takes a toll on your body. Why does it take this for us to stop being so stupid? And again, school children.
Yep, that was sad.
Yeah, well, and it's
and kinda... I do think that the school children of the high-ranking officials came into play with people cheering him on when he got home, and for him getting the position offered to him when he got home.
That's what I was going to say.
We like what you did there as, like, but revenge for our children's death. So here's a really nice, cushy job.
Did anything with his sentencing that he got in Sweden? Switzerland. Why in the world did he only get 8 years?
I don't know.
I feel like his situation had to have played some role in that.
It could have. It could have. I can't say one way or the other. I mean, I was kind of mystified, just like you are. It's like where I was like, 8 years, and then you served 2.
And you said it was premeditated, which is the worst. You thought about it.
You weren't acting on an act of passion. You weren't.
Which normally is murder 2 or manslaughter.
Right. I don't know. 8 years. I don't know. I mean, I know every country has a different kind of prison system with sometimes, because I've been watching a lot of those prison shows, and it seems like a lot of countries in Europe try to do more of correcting than punishing.
The rehabilitation stuff. Yes,
exactly. Yeah. So, I don't know if that comes into play where they're like, hey, we only do this many years because we have this set up. But, I mean, literally, I'm speaking out my ass. I have no idea. It's all speculation on my point.
Because I don't, that's insane. Like, you brutally murdered someone to death.
In front of his children.
Redundant and stupid. You brutally murdered somebody in front of his children and his wife. Which if you feel, I feel for everybody now because.
Yeah. There was no winning in this situation.
Nope. Because you just, it's like one of those like revenge stories, but it's also like, did this person.
Did it make it right? Did it bring him back? No.
No. And that's what I mean. Like the spreading the bad stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
More, I know forgiveness is difficult, especially if you don't get a fucking apology to begin with. But yeah. I feel like you just gotta, you know.
It's easy to say from here.
It is totally not easy to
situation.
Say. It is.
But I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah.
But we're also not in that situation.
Oh my God. I can't even imagine that. So, but that is fucking.
Yeah. So basically I got most of my information from Wikipedia and an article from Chicago Tribune that kind of touched up on it, which was weird because it's like, didn't happen here, but.
Well, that's what she was talking about, the Chicago Tribune. I'm like, oh, is it a Chicago murder? And she's like, nope. I was like, nope, okay.
It's in Germany.
Yeah, not even close to Chicago. Nope.
Well, Switzerland murder happened, but yeah.
I mean, lots of those countries. Yes.
I don't know. It was wild. Yeah. I told Kristen, my son, who's 14, I gave him, like, a brief nutshell of the story that I was telling tonight. And he was like, wow, didn't see that happening.
Yeah.
Didn't see it happening. I mean, thought it was a crazy story, so I really wanted to tell it.
Well, it is a crazy. There's just a lot of bad. It's a lot of sad, a lot of bad, a lot of people being. It's like a prime example for, like, where everybody is now, where it's just like, it's someone else's fault. Here, you want some money?
Right.
And it's just the world we live in. It's just a great example of us not having any value to human life. And money is, you know, worth more overall.
A company is not a person. So I don't ever expect a company to have the compassion that a person would. So that should not be shocking to anyone.
No, but it
still sucks. It's shitty. But
it should be something that we should change. Because the company is just made up of individual people, you know. And someone should have some semblance of human decency, but we don't, because we're people and we're the worst. So why the world should just be run by dogs? Because they're the best. Or cats, I guess.
No, cats are assholes. I know, because I have 2 of them.
She does. I have 2 dogs who are the best, and currently one is whining to get back in here, but he's downstairs with his dad, who he doesn't like as much as me.
Well, I'll kind of lighten the mood if you want.
Yeah, this was a rough one.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot.
Yeah.
So this is less of a, like, a knock-knock joke, but
Katie's corny corner. She thought I forgot. I did.
Even left a pause. All right, ready?
Yep.
According to a news report, adverse side effects occurred in over 3,000 women who used Botox last year, none of whom seemed surprised.
Beth, if you're listening, that one's for you.
I just thought that was really
funny. Ooh, I like
it's
that
definitely
one.
Not in my normal joke range, but I got a chuckle out
no,
of me, so.
No, that was good. That was good. Because you have to think about it for a second, and then you're like, oh, because I can't move their eyebrows.
Yep.
Got it.
Thanks for mansplaining.
Thanks. I did.
Or woman-splaining.
Yeah, I was going to say. Well, I'm sure men get Botox, too. I'm sure there's plenty of celebrity males that have gotten a Botox injection or two.
Yeah,
that was, that's like one of the ones where it's just like mine last week. There's just leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy for
the... Who? Who are you happy for?
Yo, what's his face? Yelvy?
Vitaly. He ends up getting remarried after he murdered
someone. And he has twins. Right. But I mean, I'm happy that he seems to have some semblance of normalcy now, but also...
I agree.
It's but, like, there is no good happy ending there. It's just kind of a really bad taste in your mouth and... lots of death and bad things. Like my episode last week, where it was just, there's no good ending. It's just kind of like, humanity. We're the worst.
Hey, sometimes we can be good.
Yeah, like Shell finally paying people out after 13 years of damaging people's farmlands in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, we do have capacity for good, so...
Yeah, so there's that dark side brought to you guys on this.
Yeah, I keep trying to think of something positive to say. Just watch some good, funny cat videos after this. Or, like, my Facebook feed is full of food and rescue stories of puppies.
Oh, yes. God bless.
God bless. It just makes you feel better, you know?
Gotta find the good things.
Yep, the little things, my friends, the little things. Well, again, we'll be posting another episode next week, Monday. Oh, also, sorry, this week's episode was late.
Oh, that reminds me. Last week, I was trying to think of the theater term. I had the two syllables right, and I had one word right that I was stretching out into two words. A meat cute.
Yes. Meet cute. That's right. When you said it, I was like, a cutie.
I don't know what the fuck I was saying.
Hey, sometimes we're on the spot and there's
a little bit of brain fart. I had it in my brain. It was there. Yeah. But it wasn't to the forefront yet.
Sometimes
so, a meet cute is what I was referring to last week.
Yes. And it happens.
But then it ended up in murder, so. Don't fall for those.
Don't. If you guys forgot what that meant, it's just an ironic way people normally meet in movies or plays.
It's like a cute way that people meet.
Exactly. Where it doesn't normally end up in murder.
But it might.
So it might. So just be careful. Yeah, that's it. I don't really have anything else to say. Oh, wait. Yes, I do. Ugh. Like, subscribe, review. We're at nobodynoproblem on Instagram. We're at nobodynoproblem on Facebook. We're on all streaming podcast services, which could be a lie, but we're on a lot of them. Tell your friends. Tell your parents. Tell your cousin. Even your puppies. Just do that. Just listen.
They don't have opposable thumbs.
But they have ears.
They do. You put it on for them. They'll appreciate it.
Put it on speaker. Hook it up to a Bluetooth speaker. There you go. But other than that, I think that's it. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Katie.
And we are Nobody, No Problem. We'll catch you guys next week.
Great. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.